Today the Lord is sending us a message from the rock, which comes from the New Testament book of 1 Peter. So we're going to look at those five chapters from one book today of 1 Peter, just to see what the Lord has for us today, amen? So you can roll to that book, 1 Peter, and you can stay there the entire time. The author of this book is his namesake, Peter. The purpose and reason that Peter wrote this book is that he wrote it to offer encouragement to suffering Christians. Peter identified that, people are suffering. Specifically, he wrote it to the Jewish Christians that were driven out of Jerusalem. They were being persecuted, and they had to run to save themselves, really. They were spread all throughout Asia Minor. The Roman Empire was coming against them. They were being tortured, persecuted, and they were being killed because of their faith. As a result, the church in Jerusalem was scattered. These people were all over Asia Minor. But this message comes not only from the Rock Church of Petersburg, but even more from a letter written by a man named Simon Bar-Jonah, or Simon the Son of God, that Jesus himself called the Rock. Amen? So your message is coming from that rock, Peter. But how convenient that we're the Rock Church of Petersburg. Amen? So I thought that worked out well. But Jesus called Peter the rock, as told in Matthew chapter 16, they won't be up there. Jesus asked Peter, "Who do you say I am?" Peter responded directly. He said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Amen. So when Jesus asks you something, man, don't you want the right answer? I don't want to have the right answer. I don't want to have the wrong answer. So more about Peter. Peter was a disciple of Jesus. He was the first great leader in the church at Jerusalem. Peter was the man that followed Jesus' call when they encountered him while they were fishing. So Peter and his brothers were out on the lake, and Jesus came along and he challenged those men to follow him. We also know Peter as the man who asked the Lord to call him out of the boat so he could walk on water. Come to Jesus. And that's pretty bold. He said, "Jesus, if it's you, call me out and let me walk in this water towards you." And we know that Peter got out of that boat, right? That the word says that he started walking toward Jesus. And that he was actually walking on water, amen? That's what the word says. But then, like us, even though Jesus was calling Peter, Peter started doing what we do. Peter started analyzing the situation. He felt the wind, he felt the rain, and then he became afraid. Peter took his eyes off Jesus, and the word says he started to sink into the water. But then he did something else that every believer would do in this situation. He called out, "Lord, save me." He knew enough to do that, amen. In Matthew chapter 14 tells us that Jesus immediately stretched out his hand that he pulled Peter up and out of the water. Then Jesus asked Peter, "Why did you doubt me?" Amen. But then at that time, Peter started praising and worshiping Jesus. He knew that this is the true Savior. Peter later tried to protect Jesus on numerous occasions. Peter had a lot of interaction with Jesus. He was among the 12. He was with them. He was traveling with them. Peter got to see things firsthand that we read about today in the world. The word says that Peter even helped, he even healed people, as mentioned in the book of Acts. He healed people, amen? We also know that Peter was in prison and he was rescued by an angel. And then probably most prominently, Peter is well known for denying Jesus Christ. Not once, not twice, but three times he denied Jesus. And we don't really know why he denied Jesus, if he had a moment of lack of faith. But most likely it was a moment of self-preservation. Most likely he was going, "Well, if I claim him, I'm done." So we don't know why really that he's denied Jesus three times, but we know he loved Jesus. It's all throughout the word, amen. But Peter was not much different from us. Peter was a disciple of Jesus. He loved the Lord, and he loved us also because he wrote these letters, 1st and 2nd Peter, that we still benefit from today, amen. Amen. So there's something about when you care enough about me to write down. When you write down your instructions for me so you can be sure that I can take it all in. Amen. I mean, to me, that's love. I don't even think people write letters anymore. I mean, when's the last time you wrote a letter to somebody? I mean, I write a letter to my brother in prison. I really do. And I wish he were not in prison. But that's the best way to communicate. Because when he calls me for those select calls that I got to pay, I say, nope. I decline. I mean, I'm really serious about that because he's been there so many times that I'm not paying to talk to him. Amen? But I will get a forever stamp and put it on a letter right there. Amen? So, bottom line is, we don't write much, but this brother cared enough to write a letter for us to read later. Amen? But let's go before the Lord and let's get into the Word. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your Word. Lord, thank you for your power. Thank you for your glory. Lord, thank you for what it is that you're going to reveal to us today from your Word. And Lord, we just ask that you allow Michael Brown to be out of the way, Lord, and that it be your Word to come to the people. And Lord, we ask all of them, we ask the blessings, we ask the joy, we ask the revelation, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord some praise one more time. Amen. So I kind of want to just walk the dog a little bit from chapter 1 through 5 of 1 Peter. Of course, I can't cover it all, but I'm just going to highlight some things that the Lord led me to cover. So the foundation scripture that I'm going to read is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, where Peter says, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perished, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So Peter's telling us that when our faith remains strong, when things go wrong, if our faith is strong, it's going to bring much praise and much honor on the day that we see Jesus again. Jesus is going to remember our faith when things go wrong. And I don't care who you are, things go wrong sometimes. Whether you're a believer or not, things go wrong. But we're not exempt as believers from things going wrong. We got to make sure you understand that. We're not exempt, amen? Peter is telling us that we need to be confident that God knows everything and that he directs our lives for good. So that if the Lord allows something to happen, we have to understand that there's something of value in this situation. That there's something that we can get out of this this trouble. Because he that suffered for us will not abandon us. He that suffered for us will not abandon us, what Peter tells us. And so whenever I read a book of the Bible, I really try hard to find the themes. What are the major themes that they want, that the writer wants me to understand? And there were five themes from this book that I read and that I got first that I'm going to cover before we start the chapters. The first theme that Peter discussed is salvation. It's all throughout the book. He talked about salvation. He told us that salvation is a gift from God. It's a gift. There's no other way that you can get salvation but to accept Jesus to get that salvation. We can't be smart enough. We ain't rich enough. We can't even serve enough to get salvation. There's something we got to do by accepting Jesus. Amen? Amen. But we call to serve and do all that. That's part of the deal. Very important to understand that. And as far as the salvation goes, Peter said that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross and that he paid the penalty for our sin. That he paid for the things that we've done wrong. Amen. That the bill's already paid. He said that once we accept Jesus, we're cleaned up from our sin. So it doesn't matter what we did, how bad it is. Nobody's so bad that they can't be saved. Nobody's that bad, amen. But once we're saved, we're called to live a godly life to the best of our ability. live a righteous life, which doesn't mean perfect, but that means we're following the Lord to the best that we can follow him. Amen? Peter's saying that safety and security in God are in God if we receive it. That we have God and his son Jesus, the safety and the security in this. And who doesn't want to be safe and secure? I want that. I want safety, I want security, amen. I want it all. Peter's saying that eternal life is a wonderful gift of God. So he's encouraging his believers and that in 1 Peter to accept his gift. And the people that he wrote the letters to were believers. He's reminding them of what they already know. Because sometimes we need to be reminded. The second thing is persecution. Peter saying that Christians will suffer for what they believe. Matter of fact, people will suffer anyway. Whether you believe or not, you don't believe, but for sure, if you believe, you're going to suffer sometimes from that. And that we should expect persecution. Okay, but we don't have to be paralyzed by this persecution. We don't have to freeze and be paralyzed. We can have victory through the persecution, amen. Just as Jesus did. They persecuted Jesus. But we know he's got the victory, amen. Amen. So Peter said the same thing applies to us. A third theme is that from 1 Peter is that we are God's family. All of us are God's family. And we're privileged to be in this family. Amen? We're privileged to be in this family. Peter said that we're all related brothers and sisters. So when I see you, I say, what's up, brother? Good morning, sister. You really are my brother and you really are my sister. Amen? Amen? Amen. And that's the term of endearment. Yeah. That's one of the highest titles that I can be called. You call me brother, amen, I receive it. Amen. If you don't know my name, you say brother. But I know it's a godly brother. I'm telling you, I feel good about that. Amen. Amen. So we're all family. And Christ is the foundation of a family. He's the foundation that our family is built off of. Kind of like anybody have a grandmother that was a nucleus of the family? A grandma that was really the center that everybody came around? And then a grandma departed this earth, the family was never the same. Amen. Never the same. It's still me, but not the same without family, amen. Jesus is the nucleus of his family, amen. And we need to accept the challenges that the world brings to us in this family. But when you got family, guess what? You have warriors, you have people that serve side by side. The fourth thing Peter talks about our family life on this earth. Okay, we got a godly family, but we also got some people here that we were born into. Amen. I didn't choose my twin brother, he didn't choose me. We were born together, amen. And I love him and I believe he loves me. Amen. But I did choose my wife, amen. Amen. So we have family that we're born into, and we have family that we married into, amen. Of course, maybe I didn't choose, maybe the Lord chose them for me, amen.
Amen.
Amen. But thank God that I have a wife. She's over in the gym teaching children. But Peter encouraged, when he talked about families, he encouraged the wives and the husbands to do certain things. We'll read a little bit about that later. Peter encouraged the wives of non-believers to submit to their husbands. Submit to their authority as a means to winning them over. And God didn't want to make it, hold on, this guy's not even a believer. Peter's saying, just be nice, submit to him, you're going to win him over. That's in the word, amen. You're going to win them over with your kindness. Amen, with the Holy Spirit. Amen. He also encouraged family members as a whole to treat each other with sympathy, with love, amen, compassion, with humility. Amen. And this can be hard in some of our families, amen, to treat our family members this way. But Peter's saying, do this in the Lord's name. Amen. Treat your family with love, amen. Don't put anybody on ice for too long. Bring them back in. We've all done this. Don't put people on ice. Bring them back in, amen, in the Lord's name. Bring them back in. And on the same theme of family on this earth, Peter says we need to serve each other and pray. So that's why we come to church. We serve the Lord and to serve each other. And then while we're here, we'll pray, we'll worship, we'll build energy, amen? Synergy, synchronized energy in the Lord's name. And we can't get that synergy home alone. Amen. Yeah, we can get the word is strong, the Lord is good, but we need to come together in the Lord's house. There's some power that you can't get alone, amen? The fifth thing, Peter talked about judgment. Peter talked about judgment. Peter said that God will judge everyone with perfect justice. So once you're born, you're going to be judged. He wanted us to understand that. That we will all praise God, and those who persecute God's people, they will suffer. They're going to pay their price, so don't waste our energy, you know, battling these people. But he also said that for those who love the Lord, we'll be rewarded with life forever in his presence. So if we have some people running around shooting and doing things, the Lord will deal with those folks. We can't expect a man to fix it. We really can't. But the Lord is going to deal with this, amen? Amen. The Lord is going to deal with this, so keep your eyes on the Lord. Ain't no man going to fix it. But the Lord will take care of his people, amen? Amen. It's very important that we understand that. People say, let's leave judgment to God. Don't waste your energy judging or hating people. But it's kind of hard to do. We have opinions. The older we get, the more opinions we get. It's true. But people say, don't waste your time with this stuff. It will consume you. Amen. The Lord will take care of that. And that, furthermore, that we're going to be held responsible for how we live our lives on this earth. I mean, think about that. You'll be held responsible for that. All the hate, all the things you did, all the judging. I mean, throw it out and repent, because we're going to be judged on those things, amen? Amen. 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 The word is true. Give the Lord some praise right now. Amen. Give him some praise. Because that is what Peter wanted us to understand in this letter. So 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter talked about the hope of eternal life. There's hope. That no matter how bad it is here, we know glory awaits us. Doesn't matter what's happening here, really. Amen? All that matters is that you're in Christ, that you're in the fold. Verse 6 of chapter 1 says, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. Even though you must endure many trials for a little while. Then we skip to verse 8. It says, you love him, even though you have never see him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him, and you rejoice with a glorious and inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. And I'm reading from a New Living Translation, because I really wanted to be clear that even though we don't see him, we trust him, amen? But he's saying that when that day comes, when we meet him, this will be glory that we cannot even describe. Amen. Keep trusting the Lord. There's hope in eternal life. Peter also talks about chapter 1 about the call to holy living. That we should strive to be holy. Amen. Not perfect, but holy. We should do our best to live our lives in a way that God would want us to live our lives. In a way that's worthy of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. Amen. Do your best. And the Lord knows your heart. He knows your intentions. But he cannot be tricked. He cannot be fooled. He cannot be manipulated, because he knows your heart. You cannot fake out the Lord. So we have to get our hearts right to be right. And oftentimes what we say, I don't know where that came from. Yeah, it just came from your heart. It started in your heart. What's your brain? It came out your mouth. So when we say things, yeah, we meant to say it. Because this is what our heart felt. Amen? So let's fix our heart. That will fix our mouth. It's amazing how that works together. But Peter says we're called to live holy. He says, prepare your mind for action and self-control. Put all your hope in the grace of salvation that will come to you, amen, when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. He said Jesus is coming back, and then it's all going to make sense all of a sudden. The things that we don't understand, that we're going to understand. Trust it. This is going to all make sense. thing that we wonder about now. Verse 14 says, so you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. Once you know better, then better is expected. Amen? Once you know better, better is expected. Verse 15, he says, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. So Jesus wants for us what he has. He didn't want us to be different. He wants us to have what he has. Just like we do with our children. We're living good. We want them to live good. I'm driving a good car. I want my son to drive a good car. Amen. I'm eating 3 meals a day and snacks and all kind of great meals. I want my children to eat well too. I want them to be struggling while I'm eating good. That just don't work, amen. I want for my children what I have. I got Jesus, and I want my children to have Jesus too. Amen. Don't get it here. You want your children to have what you have. In chapter 2 of 1 Peter, Peter talks about how we should live. Simply put, how we should live our lives. He tells us to get rid of all evil behavior. He says, be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. And I talked about our mouths. What we say, man, our mouth is a weapon. Our worship and praise is a weapon. This thing is a weapon. For the good and for the bad, amen. Wars have been started because of words. Because of something that somebody said, amen. People said that we should be living stones for God's house. We should be living stones, amen. And I'm skipping verse 7. We says, yes, Jews trust him, recognize the honor of God has given him, but for those who reject him, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. He said, once you had no identity as a people, now you're God's people. He said, once you received no mercy, and now you have received God's mercy. He said that you were out there, but now you're in here. You were lost, but now you're found, amen. I mean, this is strong. This is very, these are very revealing words that Peter wanted us to know. Peter also told us in this chapter that we are to respect people in authority. And I've never seen a time in my lifetime that there's such a lack of respect for anyone or anything. It's kind of like if you don't agree with them, you don't respect them. But I grew up respecting all adults, teachers, the police with the badge and the gun, the school bus driver. Man, we respected everybody because that's the way we were taught. Then if we had an issue, we went home and told mom, my teacher said this, I don't think it was right. My bus driver did this, I don't think it was right. But we were taught to respect. And I'm not sure it's happening anymore. If they don't agree with you, they're not going to respect you. Amen. But Peter said that if you're a believer, amen, the word to respect authority. Amen? And that's the Lord's word. We're to respect authority. And that's critical that we know that. Verse 13 says, for the Lord's sake, submit to all human authority, whether the king as head of state or the official be appointed. For the king is sent in to punish those who do wrong and honor those who do right. It is God's will that your honorable lives should silence for those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. For you are free, yet you are God's slaves. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Respect everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, and respect the king. He's saying, give Caesar what's his. Amen. But, you know where the real king is. But you'll be respectable if you're a Christian. Amen. Don't go low like everybody else. Don't do it. So if you're in a job that the job goes bad, leave the job. Amen. If you have a neighbor that is just not working, somebody needs to move. But don't get caught down in the weeds and doing evil with people. Find a way to move on, amen. Amen. But there's something about respecting authority Amen. But we know the real true authority is. And we know that's the Lord. Amen. So don't get caught up in the things of this world. In chapter 3, Peter gave a message for wives, husbands, and all Christians. Now, I mentioned that earlier. As he told the wives, hey, respect your husband, respect his authority, even though some refuse to obey the good news. So if you marry someone that's not in Christ, you marry them, amen. To be kind, share the word with these people, amen, you'll win them over. The Lord will win them over. Amen, there's power there. Verse 6, Peter said, for instance, Sarah obeyed her husband Abraham and called him a master. You are her daughters when you do what is right, without fear of what your husband might do. In the same way, husbands, you must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. You may be weaker than, she may be weaker than you are, this is the husbands. But she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. So if you're abusing your wife, you got a problem. You're going to account for that. But there's hope. You can repent and make it right, and you can have a great life here and a great life eternally. Amen. Amen. Peter wanted us to understand how we should relate to each other. Furthermore, verse 8, Peter says, all Christians, all believers, he says this, finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other, love each other as brothers and sisters. He says, be tenderhearted and keep a humble attitude. He says, don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. He says, instead, pay them back with a blessing. And that is what God has called you to do. And he will grant you his blessing. Man, he said, if somebody treats you wrong, treats you harshly, he said, actually, go bless that person. Woo! Amen? It's not the natural thing to do for me. But I know the Lord said to do this. And blessing them can just be not letting them happen. So blessing can be just walking away and not doing what you wanted to do. But just say something today. The Lord loves you. The Lord is good. You can even just walk away and say nothing. That's blessing them based on what you wanted to do. And well, I'm not the only one. We've all been there. And later you're like, I should have did this, I should have did that. And the Lord said, you did what you should have did, which was nothing. Amen. Lord, you did what you're supposed to do. You walked away. But I've done it. I should have said this. And I did what I should have did. I walked away in the Lord's name. Amen. Amen. But Peter had the understanding, so he wanted to share that with us. Amen. In chapter 3, Peter continued, and he said, there's going to be some suffering for doing good. That when you do good, you're going to suffer some time from that. And who's ever done good if something bad happened? Don't stop doing good, amen. He says, remember, it is better to suffer for doing good, if that good is what God wants, than to suffer for doing wrong. So the Lord says, hey, see that guy in the corner? Give him that $20 bill in your pocket. And you're like, I don't even know if he's real or if he needs it or if it's a scam. The Lord says, give him the $20 bill. Give him the $20 bill, brother. And it's better to suffer for doing right. If God wants you to, then not to do it. You might see this guy 10 minutes later in the food line buying beer with you for another bill. This has happened before. You know, but the Lord says, don't regret it. You did good, amen? The man said he was hungry, you gave him another bill, you saw him buying beer a few minutes later. But your good was good, amen? You trusted the Lord and you wanted to bless this man. Don't regret what you do good, amen? No regrets. He said it is better to suffer for doing good if that is what God wants than to suffer for doing wrong. That makes sense to me, a whole lot of sense. And we know it makes sense because it's the word. He said that Christ suffered for our sins, amen? But he was raised to life in the spirit. He said Jesus is alive. Verse 22, Peter says, now Christ has gone to heaven. He is seated in the place of honor next to God. And all the angels and authorities and powers accept his authority. Amen. That's good to know. That's great to know. In chapter 4, Peter continues to tell us that we should live for God. He tells us that the end of the world is coming soon, that we need to pray, and that we need to move before God. Amen. We need to accept Jesus, stay with Jesus. We need to share with people who lack. Verse 9 says, cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. He said, be kind to people as you see that they're approaching. It may be to share a meal, share your money, give an encouraging word. He's saying, be kind in the Lord's name. Yeah. As we see today, he said, live for God in your daily lives. Peter also contained in chapter 4, where he said, there's going to be suffering for being a Christian. That if you're a Christian, you're going to suffer. And sometimes it will be because you're a believer, and sometimes it will be because you're alive and you're a person. And that we all suffer at times. So suffering is going to happen. But if you live in a nation where you can't worship, then you're definitely going to suffer persecution because they know what you believe. So he said, don't be surprised that you're going to have trials and tribulations in this life. Don't be surprised, amen. Instead, be very glad, for these trials will make you partners with Christ. That these trials will bring you closer to the Lord if you allow this to happen. Amen. Something can go wrong, but it will result in good. Amen. He said, what the enemy means for evil, the Lord will bring it for good in our lives. We had a song about that a little while ago. Very powerful song. Amen. He said that if you get insulted because you bear the name Jesus, don't worry, you'll be blessed. Amen. Don't worry about it. You're going to be blessed. Let's get in the word, amen, as we sing. Peter said that if the righteous are barely saved, what's going to happen to the godless sinners? I mean, we're barely saved right here. We're saved by grace, amen? We're not saved because of anything that we did, but what will happen to the godless sinners? The Bible says it, eternal damnation. Amen. We don't want any of that. Thank God for his mercy and his grace and for saving us, amen? Let's give the Lord some praise. In the final chapter of 1 Peter, Peter gives us some advice. Chapter 5. He gives advice for elders in the church and for young men. It says, verse 1, and now a word to you who are elders in the churches. He says, I too am an elder and a witness to the sufferings of Christ. He said, I saw it all. I was a witness to these things. And I too will share in his glory when he's revealed to the whole world. As a fellow elder, I appeal to you, care for the flock that God has entrusted you to, watch over it willingly and not grudgingly, and not for what you will get out of it, but because you're eager to serve. He said, when you serve in the Lord's name, do it for the right reasons. Don't do it for you. Don't do it for personal gain. You're doing it for the Lord and for the kingdom. That's a strong warning right there. Yeah. Stay humble. Do it for the Lord, amen. Amen. He said, lead these people by your own good example. And we're all leaders. We're all leaders, amen. Everywhere we go, we're leaders. And when people know that you're in Christ, they watch you. Amen. They know that, I mean, they watch you for good or bad. When I'm at work, I tell them if something goes wrong, everybody looks at me. Even the senior people look at me to see what I'm going to say and what I'm going to do. And I just feel it. So I make sure I'm sure to say, amen, something positive, something that's right for the moment. Amen. I really do. Yeah. And the older I get, the wiser I get, I know they're watching me. Yeah. So I'm leading, amen. Yeah. Although my title doesn't make me a leader, I'm a leader because they know who I'm professing. Yeah. And they're just waiting on me to lose it one day. It hasn't happened yet. Amen? And it's not going to happen because I have a word of the situation. Yeah. Amen. The Lord is good, isn't he? The Lord is good. He says that when Jesus returns, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor if you did it right on this earth. I want that crown, amen? I want that crown. Peter says in verse 5, in the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders, and all of you dress yourself in humility as you relate to one another. Because God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to who? He gives grace to the humble. Amen. So he says, behave yourselves in the church and in the world in the Lord's name.
Amen.
Simply put, behave yourselves. In verse 9 he says, remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering that you are. He said, you're not the only one with trials and tribulations. You're not the only one with pain. You're not the only one with medical issues. You're not the only one with financial constraints. And you're not the only one being persecuted by the devil and the people of this world because of what you believe. Amen? So never take you alone. You're not the only one that has challenges. Well, let's give the Lord some praise right there. Peter cared enough to write this letter to the people that were scattered all over Asia Minor. He wanted us to get this word. He wanted this letter to live on so that the Lord's people would benefit from this word. Amen. And there are some lessons that we can learn from this book. First Peter, lots of lessons, but I summarize it really in 4 points. But there are many. The first lesson from First Peter for all of us is that God will use us after we fail. That we can actually fail and the Lord will still use us for the kingdom and for our own good, amen. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Amen. But the Lord still used him to do great things. Still good for us. The second thing is that God desires spiritual maturity from us. He expects us to grow in the Word as we learn, to become better, and become more righteous in His name. Not perfect, but more righteous as we live our lives in a godly manner, amen? That we're not just spinning our wheels, that we're expected to mature in the Word. That I should be better now than I was last year or 10 years ago. That I should be better tomorrow than I am today. Don't get stuck in third grade, man. We got to keep getting promoted. Don't get stuck in ninth grade. We got to graduate this course, amen. We got to get to heaven. And once we get there, the Word says there's more awaiting us. There's more than we even understand. But we have to graduate to get to that level, amen? The third lesson from 1 Peter is that Christians will suffer. It's going to happen. You're going to suffer sometimes. You're going to be persecuted because of your beliefs. And you have other worldly dilemmas. You're going to walk out to your car and it ain't going to start. And it ain't got nothing to do with the devil. Your battery is 5 years old, amen? So he's saying that not everything will be persecution because you're a believer. But sometimes the car just won't start. Amen. Things don't happen is what this is saying. And the fourth lesson is that Christ's followers must live godly lives. We can't call ourselves a follower of Jesus if we're not living that way. Can't do it, amen? So these are things that the Lord wants us to know. He sent this message to the rock, a man named Peter. Amen. So it's very important that we soak that in. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 says, in his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by being in Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you. And will place you on a firm foundation. All power in him forever. Amen. So Peter's saying that things are going to happen. It's going to last for a while, but that trouble don't last always. Amen? No one do the good things. Good days come and go as well. Amen. It's very important that we understand that. And it's important that we know that if we have not accepted Jesus, that we're not maximizing the benefits that we have at this time. The opportunities in Christ. They simply haven't been maximized. So if Jesus were to return right now, the question is, have I registered my name in heaven? Have I written my name in the last book of life? And only you can ask that question. Okay, it doesn't have to happen in front of a crowd. It can be one-on-one. You and the Lord. But this must happen if your name is going to be registered in the last book of life. That is, if you're going to have eternal salvation, this has to happen. Amen. So I'm going to recite the short prayer this time. If you have not accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, the time is now. The time is now. So I'll open up the altar. If you want to come up or if you want to stay in your place, you can raise your hand so I can know you're here. But there's more awaiting for you. Amen. Amen. So, everybody stand with me if you could. Stand with me as I recite this short prayer. Amen? But if you have not accepted Jesus, I challenge you this time to do so. Amen? And it's okay if you want to say it again. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and forgive me of my sin. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and that you rose on the third day. I accept you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Spirit. And Lord, write my name in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. Let's give the Lord some praise. You said that prayer with sincerity. You've been saved, amen. And you have what? The Bible called eternal salvation. That you have forever life in the Lord's name. Amen. I'm going to close this out in prayer. And I just ask that you go out and share the word with people out there, amen? And just tell them to go read 1 Peter. Because the word speaks for itself. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for your revelation. Thank you for the encouragement, Lord, that as a believer, that I will experience trials and tribulations. But that like Jesus, Lord, I will have the victory if I'm in you. We ask that this word pricks hearts, that people leave here today encouraged, they leave strong with joy and love and mercy, that they leave with all the goodness, Lord, that you provide. We ask for healing today for those who have ailments in their body. We ask for healing for those who have spiritual ailments that don't know you or that struggle with your word. Lord, today we ask for joy. We ask for traveling mercy for our members who are out on the road. Our brother Garfield and all the others that are out today, our pastors. Lord, bring them back, Lord, for your glory. And Lord, we ask for everything today. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord some praise.